I'd only been in Bern for 5 minutes before I reached my conclusion. Switzerland has the quaintest capital of any major country I've ever visited. There are some cute capitals in Europe, of course, Luxembourg and San Marino, Andorra. But there's usually fast roads and tower blocks and urban sprawl around key cities and larger countries, but not here in Bern.
The old town of the city is a UNESCO World Heritage Site since 1983. It's a very medieval architecture still.
That status means city planners have preserved Bern's appearance, but it feels real. It's not a theme park. Bern's setting is stunning. The city sits on leafy hills sloping down to the teal-covered River Aare, which ribbons around the old town. Its historic centre is a peninsula, on a hill, surrounded by the fast-flowing waters, on three sides. Bern hasn't been the Swiss capital for very long.
Bern became the capital 1848.
Switzerland is a complicated country, and its people speak one or more of four official languages: German, French, Italian and Romance.
At that time, more than 50% spoke French, and the French-speaking part and the Italian-speaking part, they voted for Bern, and that's why we became the capital, because Zurich and Lucerne, they also wanted to become the capital, of course.
The Edwardian-era parliament building, the Federal Palace, is impressive. The pillars on its front give it the appearance of a Greek temple. A green dome rises 64 metres above the plaza outside. Two smaller domes on either side balance the structure. Central Bern's cobbled streets are lined with continuous blocks of tall, five-storey sandstone buildings. The stone is tinged a sage-like colour. At street level, the pavements run along open-sided arcades, a series of archways, protecting shoppers from the elements.
They are 6 kilometres long, all over the city, and if you want to go shopping, you don't need to take an umbrella with you if it rains, and it's also nice to walk in the shade when it's really sunny.
It's a vibrant place, with musicians playing classical pieces as you stroll along the arcades. I even found a woman playing an alpine horn. There's plenty of colour from the balcony window boxes and a sea of flags draped from the first floors of buildings. You'll see the red flag and white cross of Switzerland and a red and yellow one with a black bear motif. Bern's name comes from bear.
The founder of the city, he went on a shoot. He said, the first animal that I'm going to shoot, the city will have the name of this animal. So he came back and said, well, it was a bear. So that's why we are called Bern. Some people say that that's actually a lie, because the first animal he shot was a rabbit.
There have been bears in Bern for centuries. Across the river from the old town, the crowds pack up against the railings, looking down from the hillside terrace onto an enclosure which is home to three bears. It's free to go and see them. They're kept there to keep up a Bernese tradition.
Because the Bernese won in the Battle of Novara against the French, and they took two bears with them, and they put them in a second natural moat in front of the prison tower. Nowadays, this is the Bear Square. It reminds us that this was actually the first bear pit.
Nicole Schaffner of Bern Tourism told me you'll find bears all over the city.
A lot of restaurants are called bear. We have a lot of souvenirs in form of a bear, for example, soaps.
Many cafes in Bern sell bear-shaped biscuits too.
The Mandelbelli, it's a sweet snack. It's a bear made of almond.
Switzerland is known for its timekeeping, and you can't be late for Bern's most popular free attraction, the chunky clock tower, topped off by a green needle-like spire, has stood at the centre of the town for 600 years. I booked an expert who could give me a special insight into this medieval mechanical marvel.
My name is Beatrice, and we will make now a tour for 2 hours.
As the hour approaches, you'll notice the crowds gathering to stare at the clock tower's faces. One is a regular clock, the other's astronomical, and displays sunrise and sunset times. When you look up, you'll see a collection of different mechanical figures move out and put on a show. It delights onlookers. Beatrice guided me through the complicated sequence.
In the middle, we have Kronos, the god of time. He's holding an hourglass and a scepter. Above him, we have the red jester with the two bells. And beneath him, we have 7 bears. That's the city guard of Bern. On the left side, we have a golden rooster. On the right side, a golden lion. 3.5 minutes before the hour, the rooster crows and lifts his wings. Then 1 minute passes, and after that the jester already strikes the hour. He does it too early because he's a jester. And the bears, they turn around now 4 times because it's 4 o'clock. The rooster crows a second time, and then Kronos turns the hourglass. The golden man, he strikes the full hour, and Kronos is counting. He opens and closes his mouth. He moves the scepter forwards and backwards, and the lion shakes his head. He's also counting. And at the very end, the rooster crows a third time. And this happens day and night as long as someone has winded it up.
Obviously, at certain times of day, there's more to see.
The best time, of course, is to be here at 10, 11 or 12 o'clock. Then you have most strikes. At 1 o'clock, you can hardly see anything. One strike, it's so short.
I was treated to look inside the clock tower to view the intricate medieval mechanism.
And we will go now inside. We walk up, we open the windows, we overlook Bern. And at the full hour, or a little bit before, we are there where the clockwork mechanism is. And we will see what's happening in order.
You can only enter if you've a pre-booked guided tour. You can do that through Bern Tourism.
Mind your head.
We climbed up to the top floor. The stairs became narrower as we reached each different level. We entered a room filled with Heath Robinson-style pulleys and levers, cogs and dials.
So there's what looks like a metal cannonball, the size of a beach ball, suspended on hooks, hanging from the ceiling, and it's moving back and forward. It's quite hypnotic.
As the minute hand edged nearer to the hour, Beatrice grabbed a baton.
And I'm getting ready to be deafened.
Now it will happen very soon, huh?
And almost like an orchestra conductor, pointed to different parts of the mechanism, offering a description of what was about to happen, seconds before each part whirred into life. She directed me over to the bellows in the far corner of the room. At the right moment, a weight fell on a lever which squeezed air out of them to make the rooster crow.
That was amazing.
Yes, it is.
It was one of the most incredible and technically complicated sequences I've ever witnessed, and I was stunned that this whole thing was devised 500 years ago. Then Beatrice opened the clock tower window shutters to reveal the incredible view over Bern's red-tiled roofs, the river bend, and the Alps in the distance.
We can see House of Parliament, the River Aare when you lean out.
I'm off to the river next to visit Bern locals' favourite form of free summertime fun. And we'll check out the museum devoted to the Bern resident, whose research changed scientific thinking forever.
Want to pay less for your railway journeys? Trainsplit finds cheaper fares that other sites might not offer you. Book the same seat on the same train for much less. See how many pounds you'll save on your next trip. Go to greatdestinationsradioshow.com and click on cheaper train tickets at the top of the page. That's cheaper train tickets on greatdestinationsradioshow.com.
This is the Great Destinations Radio Show. I'm in the Swiss capital of Bern, an historic and attractive city of 130,000 people.
It offers everything a capital city needs to have, but it still managed to stay small. It's very beautiful in a very understated way. You feel very comfortable and at home here in Bern.
In fact, the Bernese are very proud of their chilled approach to life.
You immediately slow down because Bern is actually famous for that. Swiss people make always a little bit fun because they say that the Bernese people are the slowest Swiss people. Actually, that's a little bit true. They take their time for the good things of life. And I think you immediately feel that coming to Bern, that everything has a little bit a slower pace.
Yeah, we are more town than a city, and that we are slow, and that everything in Bern is a bit more relaxed than in Zurich or Geneva.
One of the most impressive buildings in Switzerland dominates the old town of Bern. You can see how the Minster's bell tower has been extended upwards in stages. And if you're fit enough, you can climb up the tower.
It's the most important late Gothic building in Switzerland.
It's Switzerland's tallest church.
It's 100.6 meters, made of Bernese sandstone. 1421, they started to construct this Minster. It took them more than 150 years, not because we are in Bern, but we had the Reformation, 1528. Here you have to walk 222 steps. You are on a square gallery. and another 90 and you will be on the octagonal gallery. 312 steps. You overlook Bern. It's really nice. You can see the roof gardens. On a clear day, you see the whole panorama of the Bernese Alps.
As Bern is the Swiss capital, there's embassies and parliamentarians based here. So, as you might expect, there's a high standard of dining options and stylish bars. The Hotel Allegro offers both. Their rooftop restaurant treats diners to incredible views across the river and Old Town. In the summer, the top floor is transformed into a pop-up bar, where you can enjoy a drink at sunset and admire the twinkling city lights. And the hotel's also home to a casino.
The casino has been with us for over 30 years, but now it's much bigger. I think they constructed it bigger like 10 years ago, and it's one of the biggest in Switzerland.
The Hotel Allegro is 5 minutes' walk from the centre of town, on the opposite side of the high Kornhausbrücke Bridge, with arches that span the river and valley below. The Victoria Quarter's on this side of the river, a hip district of bars, including one in a converted old fire station. And there's a stylish craft brewery called Bar Bière.
Trendy neighbourhood, with a lot of nice little restaurant, bars and shops. And people like to live there because there are a lot of parks. It has a good life quality.
Cross the river back into town, and if you've got good directions, you'll find the most incredible restaurants. You enter the Kornhauskeller by walking down a staircase from street level. You'll reach a vast underground space where the tables are laid out under the 21-foot-high vaulted arch ceiling. The upper space is decorated with friezes, and the wood-panelled walls and leather sofas give the restaurant a stately feel, like a banqueting hall.
You wouldn't expect it from the outside that it looks like this. If you go underground and you see it, it's very breathtaking, I would say.
Bern's not as expensive as some other Swiss towns, and you can find good, affordable food around the Longestrasse. This district, 10 minutes walk from the town centre, appears quite well heeled for a student area. If you're in Bern at the weekend, you should try and visit the farmers' market. Its stalls line the old town streets, and you can get great cheeses, meats, olives, breads and wines.
If you are here on a Saturday, the Saturday morning market is a must for me. And you have a lot of very nice farmer stands, and you can buy local products. And it's a very, very, drink a coffee at Café Einstein or at Lirum Larum. And just, it's a very relaxed atmosphere.
Bernese residents, whether rich or poor, spend their summer times in and around the river. I followed families carrying their beer coolers and rubber rings down to the water. There is a small funicular railway which carries you up or down on a 2-minute ride along the steep hill from Parliament to a large outdoor swimming pool complex in a park next to the River Aare. It seemed that nearly every square inch of the large lawns was covered with picnic blankets or deck chairs. Many families come and swim and play in the water park pools. Stronger swimmers, though, clamber down concrete steps or the banks to swim a stretch of the river. A digital display board announced the river temperature of 21 Celsius. I stood on the river bank for about 10 minutes. In that time, literally hundreds of people swept past me. Some were swimming alone, others were being propelled along by the fast-flowing current in groups. It was an incredible sight. It seems Bernese people congregate around water. Beatrice took me on a tour of some of the ornate fountains which stand in the middle of the city streets.
And we could say it was the chat room, in the Middle Ages. Huh? You had no iPhone, smartphones. Huh? If you wanted to get news, you went to the fountain. Huh? This is also how the news went through the town, from fountain to fountain.
The water is safe to drink. You'll see locals filling up their bottles. There are 11 ornately decorated historic fountains in the centre of city streets. Each one has a statue on top that were made around 1540. The weirdest has the image of an ogre consuming a child head first. As you might imagine, it gets a fair bit of attention.
And the ogre fountain is the most famous one in Bern, but the only one where we are not completely sure what it should be. We have nothing written down. From all others, we have it, and here it's missing. One interpretation is that it's just a carnival figure. And the other is, originally it went deeply down to the River Aare, we had no bridge here, and that the mother told their children, if you don't behave, he will take you.
You might expect life to be serious in the city from which Switzerland is governed, but Bernese people have a sense of humour. Beatrice pointed out some 5 Swiss franc coins on the pavement. As I bent down, a jet of water squirted me from the first floor of an adjacent building.
It's just for fun, you know.
It's a trick to con greedy people who think they can pick up money.
Yes, exactly. That's the idea.
Over the years, new discoveries have been made in Bern which have changed people's lives all over the world. I wasn't exactly thinking of the man who came up with the formula for Toblerone, but it's still made here. Another famous chocolatier started in town too.
This is coincidence that Rudolf Lindt, he lived down here and he invited to make the soft chocolate, chocolat fondant.
Bern's biggest claim to fame, though, is that the German-born scientist Albert Einstein made his groundbreaking discovery when he was living in the city.
It was here when he revealed his famous theory of relativity, and actually you're still able to see his former apartment. It's called the Einstein House.
I called into the Einstein House. It was interesting to look out at the street view, once enjoyed by a genius at work. Einstein's theories changed the way we understand the speed of light and time. It's had a real impact on today's technology that we take for granted. Without understanding his theory, GPS, which uses satellites, would not be able to offer real-time tracking. The Einstein Museum houses a large collection of personal documents and photographs, so you can get a complete overview of the scientist's life. Einstein moved from Germany to Switzerland for his studies because he objected to the militaristic German Empire. And his first wife also had to leave her homeland. Guide Franka Dermamel told me that Milvia Einstein was Serbian and moved to Switzerland because women were accepted at university here.
There are people who say the theory of relativity is actually her idea, but she couldn't do it. Nobody would hear her because she was a woman.
That'd be amazing if somebody found some papers to prove that now, wouldn't it?
Einstein's tedious job paid the bills. But after work, he spent most of his time trying to prove his theories.
The theory of relativity took about 15 years until it was proved. Then he got some of the acknowledgement that he did this, and then he was the big star. But at first, it started at the University of Bern.
The museum also holds some of the registers from Einstein's university lectures. They reveal that few people attended his earlier talks.
Only 3 people, and 2 of these people were his colleagues. You could say this is the start of his big, big career here in Bern.
It's like seeing the Beatles before they were famous, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yeah.
At the museum, I learned that Einstein was passionate about music, although he wasn't the best musician. He also loved socialising. I had assumed he was a bit of an antisocial geek, but when you see photos of the young scientist without the hallmark crazy unkempt hair, his appearance is quite normal and unremarkable.
When I go through with teenagers, they all think, he was a nerd, he was somebody just on his own all the time, and that's absolutely not true, because he really enjoyed the society, and he was a man who is going for all the women.
What are they like then? Because he wasn't particularly attractive, was he?
He was someone who could talk, and not just talk about physics, but about the bigger problems in society and life. He was very charming.
Einstein later spoke out against the Nazis, and when he relocated to the United States to teach, he did what he could to protect the rights of Jewish people. After the war, he was said to be deeply touched to be offered the role of the first president of the State of Israel.
L'eau de vie.
The Swiss Alpine Museum, just across the road, is also worth a visit. It's not a collection of cowbells and pictures of Edelweiss. It's thought-provoking and tackles some of the challenges affecting mountain communities worldwide. A section on climate change imagines alpine life in the middle of this century, when most of the ski resorts are without snow.
Our museum should show the deep and different relationships between men and mountains.
Beat Hatchler is a museum's director.
So it's not a history museum and not a natural history museum and not an art museum. It's maybe about sports, about food, about culture, but always related, linked to mountains.
The old town of Bern is compact and it's easy to walk around. But if you're travelling further, Bern tourism has made life much easier for tourists.
With this Bern ticket, you are allowed to use all public transportation within the city for free. You can also go to the Bern airport.
If you're staying overnight, your accommodation should offer you a pass for free. In fact, the Bern ticket gives you a free pass to the funicular railways. One climbs the Gürten Mountain, the highest spot around the town. You can reach the base station in one of Bern's affluent suburbs by taking a 15-minute tram ride from the central station. In around 10 minutes, your railway car will glide up through woods and then meadows to the 858-metre summit of the mountain. At the top, if the weather's clear, you'll enjoy a fantastic view of the Alps, and if you want the best possible vantage point, there's what looks like a wooden lighthouse, an 80-foot-high viewing tower to climb. I stayed at the Hotel Allegro, a stylish, spacious hotel with comfortable rooms. The heart of the hotel is a three-floor-high atrium with glass lifts.
We want to give them a home in Bern, that they feel comfortable. We have a great, great breakfast buffet.
Views are amazing as well. You can just stay in the room staring out the window.
Yeah.
You've got a view right over the bridge and over the city, the old town.
Allegro, our hotel, probably has the best views in town.
Outside, its landscaped gardens provide a great place to unwind and have a drink. They're like a small urban water park with sculptures and bridges over ponds filled with koi carp. And there's a steam train engine. Hotel manager Karen Kunz.
This is a celebration of the jubilee of the Brienzer Rothornbahn, which is one of the oldest steam trains in Switzerland, not far from here, at the lake of Interlaken.
The locomotive was built in 1891. Apparently, it's capable of working on a 1-in-4 gradient. I should have borrowed it to tackle some of the hills. Bern was a fantastic discovery for me, an attractive city with interesting museums, but also a relaxed place, which was a surprise since clock watching plays such a part in local life.